The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, author and speaker Christine Kane helps us know how we can get past what we can't get over.
My life was one that was riddled with frogs of insecurity, of fear, of shame, of unforgiveness. I mean, you can go through a whole list of the sort of stuff that you and I carry around with us every single day, like a little frog. Now, it looks cute when it's like there in my hand, but I wish I had like 100 little frogs to shove on my head.
Moving past your past. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to share this time with you. You may have noticed as they scanned, and if you didn't, you'll know more about it even as the week goes on. Embrace Grace t-shirts on a lot of the young ladies here. And that's really a challenge. Might even be called a command. Embrace grace. Extend it. Receive it. Really good point. Christine Kane understands what it is to embrace grace. To move past your past, she's teaching this. We would like for you to get the series on CD or DVD, and some of the things that she has written are phenomenal. Beth Moore, who shares so often on this day, just loves Christine. We've had wonderful talks about get this message out that this girl's got. Now, Betty, you remember when I was very defeated as a highly visible preacher. And I'd become trampled ground for the enemy to walk on because I was too busy doing the work of God to live in the will of God and to have intimacy and fellowship with Him like I should have. I was too busy preaching His Word to really get into His Word and get His Word in me. And we found out that the way of escape was there, the promised land, the victory. And when we knew it, and I decided to spend one more year in torment rather than go to the help. And I followed up by telling people that Pharaoh spent one more night with the frogs, the plague. I spent another year with the frogs. Some people who are watching this program have spent a lifetime with the frogs, with the torment. Welcome Christine Kane, and don't miss what she's saying. Here she is.
Is one of the most random stories on the in the whole Bible. And, you know, if you just think God is boring, then you really, really do not know this God. He says, let me give you a little bit of context. The children of Israel, 430 years they've been in slavery, they've been in captivity in Egypt. And so God wants to let His children go, but Pharaoh's got a really hard heart, and he's a slave taskmaster. He's got a very hard heart, and he doesn't want to let the children of Israel go. So he's got them all locked up, and God says, okay, I'm going to soften his heart. So he sends a series of plagues, 10 plagues, to soften Pharaoh's heart. We're just looking at one of those today, and that's the plague of frogs. And so, you know, really, at the end of the day, God says, I'm sending frogs everywhere. And I love what the Bible says. It does not leave one inch of territory uncharted. It says there were frogs everywhere. There were frogs in, you know, in the kitchen, in your kneading troughs, in your ovens. That would not affect me because I've never opened my oven. But anyway, for those that actually really do that, you know, it would be quite drastic. And so, you know, my kids would probably die of shock. It's so funny, my children, at school, Catherine is my eldest, she's 11, and the teacher said to all the kids, you know, what is the favourite thing for your mum to make? And all the kids are telling their favourite thing that their mum makes, and my daughter puts her hand up, she goes, my mum makes great reservations. Anyway, so... I know, so I'm just emancipating all the women out there that just think, you know what, why cook when you can buy? What happened was, the frogs were everywhere, in the beds, you know, on the streets. I mean, wherever you went, here a frog, there a frog, everywhere. Frog, frog. There were frogs everywhere. And so I would imagine Mrs. Pharaoh, I've never known her name. They don't talk about her in the text, but I like to imagine these things. Mrs. Pharaoh went to Mr. Pharaoh and said, "That's it, I'm done. I'm sick of these frogs, and the only thing worse than a plague of frogs is a nagging wife." And so what happened was Pharaoh comes to Moses and he says, "All right, do whatever you need to do." And oftentimes we do this with God. We just get so sick of a situation. We're like, "All right, I'm desperate. Do whatever you need to do. Pray to that God of yours. I'll let these people go. I will keep my end of the bargain. Just get rid of this mess that I'm in." I don't know if you've ever prayed that kind of prayer where you're like in a mess and you're like, "God, I'll do anything. I'll go to church every day. I'll give all my money. You know, like, just get me out of this mess." The minute you're out of the mess, you forget. But anyway, so what happened was he said to Moses, "Get me out of this mess. Pray to your God." So here we are. We have a God who is willing to get rid of the frogs, a God who is well able to get rid of these frogs, a God that is just right there engaged saying, I will do this. And I love what Moses says to him. He says, so Moses said to Pharaoh, "I leave you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you to get rid of the frogs." So he's essentially saying to Pharaoh, "You just tell me when. God is willing. God is ready. God is able. He's going to get rid of these frogs. Just tell me when you want it to happen." And then to me is one of the weirdest one verses in the whole Bible. It's only three words. It is so random. Right there in verse 10, it says, "Tomorrow," Pharaoh said. "Tomorrow." I just want you to think about that for 1 minute. God's willing to get rid of the frogs. There's a plague of frogs happening everywhere. They're everywhere you go, there are frogs. And God says, "I can get rid of these frogs right now. I can deal with this situation right at this moment. When would you like me to deal with it?" And then Pharaoh goes, "Tomorrow. Tomorrow." I don't know if you think that's random, but I ask the question, what would implore this man to want to spend one more night with those frogs? I mean, seriously. God can get rid of it, but he says tomorrow. And I guess really my question today, and if you've tuned in on the other side of this screen, the issue isn't really why did Pharaoh want those frogs to survive another night. The issue is, what are the frogs on your life, in your life, around your life that you are willing to live with, that you've become so accustomed to, and God is able to get rid of them? God wants to get rid of them. God is so willing to get rid of them. But you keep saying, "Okay, God, I'll deal with that tomorrow." I don't know what frogs. My life was one that was riddled with frogs of insecurity, of fear, of shame, of guilt, of lust, of envy, of greed, of jealousy, of bitterness, of unforgiveness. I mean, you can go through a whole list of the sort of stuff that you and I carry around with us every single day, like a little frog. Now, it looks cute when it's like there in my hand, but I wish I had like 100 little frogs to shove on my head, because I was going to do this whole message with a frog on my head to go, this is what a lot of us look like. We think, what frog? What frog? And everybody... I don't have a frog. Is there anything unusual about me? But the point is, we actually... And then we begin to think, isn't it cute? Oh, I like my frog. And we think, I've got no frogs. Christine, I haven't got any issues. What are you talking about? And all I need to do is ask the friend next to you, does she have an issue? And the point is, eventually you're not even defined by your name anymore. It's just your issue. It's, oh, don't say anything because she's got an anger problem. You're like, no, I don't. No, I don't. And we just walk around with these frogs. And in fact, you know, we like them put on our little shoulder. And we like that little ribbit, 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 ribbit. And we're just really used to that little frog. And so we just think, we'll sit in a message like this, or maybe you've tuned into the other side of this camera. And all of a sudden you're thinking, whoa, she's reading my mail. What's going on? And you just go, oh, you know, what you're saying is really right. I've got all this stuff. I've got these addictions, I've got this pain, I've got this guilt, I've got this lust, I've got this greed, I've got this, I don't know, I've got these frogs, and what you're saying is really right, but I will deal with that thing, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. How many times do we do that? You know, I made a little list here, and you can answer me. How often do we go at the beginning of a brand new year, this is my year, I am going to get so fit, and I'm going to get so healthy, and I'm no longer going to eat Krispy Kremes, and I'm going to get on that treadmill? Now, you're all quiet because maybe none of you have ever uttered that prayer or said that resolution in your life. But this is the year I'm going to get fit. And we think, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to start going tomorrow. And then the alarm goes off at 6 a.m., and we put the snooze button on, and we go, get thee behind me, Satan. That is not... That is not the call of God. And we think Jesus is not even awake himself. There is no way that this is going to happen. And so we press that snooze button. And I don't even want to ask in this room or on the other side of the screen how often we have snoozed our way through another year of fitness and all we've added is more pounds to ourselves rather than get fit. Or we go, this is the year I'm going to start eating healthy. No more Tex-Mex for me. No more Greek baklava for me. I am going to eat nice and healthy. And you know what? Until that first dessert comes past us and we go, you know what? I really am going to start eating, you know, salad, spinach and grilled salmon and the dressing on the side, but I'm going to start eating that tomorrow. We deal with unforgiveness in our heart and in our life and we think, you know, I really need to deal with that unresolved issue in that relationship. I really need to deal with and forgive that person and I am going to forgive them, but I'm going to forgive them tomorrow. I know I need to deal with this addiction in my life and I know that, you know, this is not good for me. It's not good for my family. It's not good for my friendships. It's not good for my relationships and I really plan to quit, but I'm going to begin to deal with it tomorrow. I really think most of us are fully sincere with our intentions. We actually really do want to deal with the guilt or the shame or the unforgiveness or the bitterness or the lust or the greed or the envy. There's stuff going on and we think, I really do want to deal with this and I'm going to get there. Or my marriage is in crisis and I know we need to get help, but we're going to go and we're going to start counselling tomorrow. I know that I'm in the wrong crowd at university or at college and I'm involved in a whole lot of activities that I need to not be involved in and I am going to leave this group, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. And what happens is we think because we've decided that I'm going to deal with it tomorrow, we convince ourselves that we've somehow dealt with it. We think I've done something about it because I'm going to do something about it. So what happens is tomorrow we wake up and guess what day it is? Today. Because the truth is, until we choose to deal with our yesterday today, we are never going to step into tomorrow. Most of the time when tomorrow the sun comes up and it becomes today, we're really still living in yesterday because we have brought our past into our present and we've never moved into our future and we never will until we deal with our past. The only way to lay a hold of the future that God has for each and every single one of us is to actually deal with our past so that we can move past our past. Most people live in the present but in an eternal past. We live as victims of what happened to us somewhere in our past or choices we made or decisions, and we never move past it. And we talk about the future and we hope for the future and we wish for the future, but we never step into that future that Jesus Christ died and rose again to give us because we're so busy living in the past thinking, tomorrow I'm going to deal with my stuff. Tomorrow I'm going to deal with my frogs. We are no different to Pharaoh, that we keep thinking, tomorrow. Tomorrow, whether they're internal frogs or whether they're external frogs, we keep reliving the past in our present every second of the day. And yet Jesus says that he's got a plan and a future and a destiny for every single one of us. We go into sermons and we get inspired and we want to lay a hold of the plan and the purpose that God has for us, but we keep tripping up over our past. And the whole purpose of today is that hopefully I'm going to teach us a few principles from my own life of how I've moved past my past because a lot of us get stuck in that moment. U2, I always joke, I go, they were one of the best worship bands on earth. You know, I love U2. And they've got a song called Stuck in a Moment. And the chorus goes like this. It says, you got to get yourself together. You got stuck in a moment and now you can't get out of it. And it is amazing to me how many people get stuck in a moment of their past. Now, it could have been a good moment. And, you know, you were the cheerleading champion of your school or the football champion. And I've got a friend like this that played Australian football because I am from the land down under. In case you wondered, you all have the accents and this is how the Queen speaks English in the colonies. And so I love that. I've got all my Australian audience out there that love James and Betty and we just, you know, this is how the Queen speaks. Anyway, she would not agree with that comment in case you're wondering. But the truth is that I go back and if I go and visit my friend, now we have not been in high school for 30 years, but you wouldn't realize that if you went in because everything is still stuck in that moment. The same trophies, the same, I'm thinking, have you not had a life for 30 years? I mean, it was a good moment, but if you're always talking about the good old days, I'm like, what about today? And the best is yet to come. And you are so stuck in those good, oh man, when I was the cheerleading champion, when I got this award at school, and we're so busy looking back. that we're not moving forward. And God says, I've got a whole future ahead of you, and you've still not moved past your past. And then, of course, there are people that have been stuck in a moment of abuse or a moment of pain, or perhaps a moment where their marriage fell apart, or they lost a child, or there was some other pain or suffering, and we've never been able to move past that moment. And really, my intention and my hope and my prayer is that you understand in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ that you know what? The rest of your days can be the best of your days. No matter what happened in your past, you can move beyond your past into the future that He has for you, and His plans for you are good. Are for good and not for evil. Their plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And if we can stop looking back and start looking forward, then we can make a difference. But we have to change our whole confession and our whole concept. We've got to be not like Pharaoh, who says, tomorrow, tomorrow. And we live like that because, and I think part of that is all of these New Year's resolutions that we make, you know. I mean, and statistics say 6 months in, 80% of people have not kept their New Year's resolutions. By 11 months in, 95% of people have not kept their New Year's resolutions. Now, obviously, in this audience and anyone watching me on the other side of the screen, you've all kept every one of your New Year's resolutions. I know that. But for everybody else, they've broken them. And that's because I think we make resolutions, but we don't resolve. And if we don't resolve that today, right where I am in my current circumstances, I'm going to deal with my stuff, then we are never going to move on. And I think another fallacy is that we think we have to stop hurting in order to start moving forward. But I've discovered you don't need to stop hurting to start moving forward. Sometimes you've got to limp your way forward until you can walk, and then once you walk, you can start to run. And I think a lot of times we think, I don't have the energy to run. I don't have the energy to move past the broken. I've either had a broken family or my own regrets or things have happened to me. And, you know, I feel so bad. I feel so hurt. I feel so bitter. I feel so offended. I feel so wounded. Well, welcome to being alive. Part of being alive is that this is going to happen. And so sometimes we think I've got to stop hurting before I can start moving. And in my own life, and I'll tell you a little bit of my story in a moment, I discovered that I had to start moving hurting. And while I was moving hurting, the healing came as I was moving. And I limped my way through a lot of years until I was able to walk. And then I walked my way through a lot of years until I was able to run. And now I run so much, you know, and my husband and I and our daughters go all over the world preaching and teaching and helping to rescue the victims of human trafficking. And nowadays, you know, people say, whoa, you run so fast. By the time jet lag catches me, I'm in the next country. So that's how I never suffer from jet lag, because it never catches up with me. So the truth is, we've all got a lot of regrets, and we think, you know, how am I ever going to get past those? How am I ever going to get past this regret or that regret? And I guess the truth is that there are things, and really what I want to talk about is you can get past what you can't get over. God is able to move mountains that you can't climb over. That is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our faith can move mountains. Sometimes we think, I can't get over this mountain, and you're right. But God can get that mountain out of the way so that you can get past what you can't get over.
Wow. There are so many challenges, so many mountains we honestly are convinced we can't get over. But like Christine said, God can move it. You see, if we let the God who moves mountains move us to the hope and the trust that He offers, we'll behold a miracle. And it'll begin within. And then you'll see the manifestation of the effect. Betty, we're going to let our viewers right now see something that has absolutely not a word or a sentence. You've heard that actions speak louder than words, and a picture says more than 1,000 words, and so forth. Would you please focus your attention, not just your eyes, but your spiritual attention on the images, the very real images and the very real people you're about to see. I don't know what's going through your mind when you look at those images, but I know what goes through my mind and my heart. And I find myself wanting to just kind of bring some of them back up on the screen and say, look at this little child. Because that's somebody's baby. But that's also a child that God loves more than we can describe. And Betty, as difficult as it may be to grasp or even comprehend, he expressed his love very beautifully through the death and the gift of his son. But to express his love today that his son gives so freely, it must be expressed through us. We're the ones that don't just look at that little child and say, oh my. We're the one that says, here's help. And as the conclusion of what you saw, actions always speak louder than words. We've been helping people a long time, Betty, and we've been doing it because people who watch do more than watch, they help.
You know, as I watched that, and I hope as you watched it, even though there was silence, I heard a lot. One thing I heard was that life is in our hands in this situation. We can give the food that's needed to help these babies live, to grow up, and to have a chance of hope and joy in their lives, and to be children like children should be, to be able to play and run and laugh. And we have an opportunity to do that. I hope you will join with us, and let's give to help the children.
And I gotta tell you, I'm confident that you will. Father, I just thank you that I believe people are gonna be your hands here. Pick these little children up. And I thank you. You don't have any idea what it'll mean to a mother to be able to give her little child something, or to see their little child leave that malnutrition clinic or that area where they came so desperate to try to head off death. We try to head it off too before they get to that desperate state in our feeding centers, where we have children that are, in many instances, still able to walk or stand up, and their families will bring them a long way to get to the food. We're feeding hundreds of thousands of children, and the way we do it is just one child at a time, so to speak. $30, we can feed three children for the next month. $50, we can feed five. For $100, we can feed 10. We have some beautiful gifts to give you. We want to give you as a thank you and to bless you in your life, in your spiritual journey, and your spiritual nutrition and strength, moving past your past. Don't be trapped by it. Christine Kane, we're offering it in CD or the DVDs, two of the books that Christine has written, one of them a bestseller, Undaunted, Daring to Do What God Calls You to Do. We're sending the CDs and one of the books for any gift. We're sending the DVDs and the CDs and both books for a gift of $100 to help feed 10 children. You may be able to do more than that. But we're asking you right now, if you would, please reach out and touch someone with love by dialing the number. Take your bank card. Use it like it's a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it, would you? And do the best you can. Help as many of those little children who each little face, each little child represented many that need to feel the love of God expressed through you and through those missionaries and relief workers. Please make the call or go online, lifetoday.org, would you? And make the gift God put on your heart.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. Our mission partners urgently need your support. Our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift, we'll send you Moving Past Your Past, a powerful new series featuring author and speaker Christine Kane. In Christ, there are no yesterdays, only tomorrows. In this series, Christine provides you with the keys to leaving your past behind and receiving all God has for your future.
For a gift of any amount, you'll receive the audio CD series, along with Christine's book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the entire teaching on both DVD and CD. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you.
Thank you.
And you're going to say thank you for what you get when you simply ask for the gift we're offering you, a gift of love. And if there's any way that you could ask for the commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love, now I think you need to see this. I don't know how close a shot you can get on this, but this is an older brother. I've seen this picture many times. There's a little boy here. He's malnourished, with his bloated stomach. And there's a leaf. The children use leaves as a spoon. But over here, there's a little bowl. This older brother's feeding this little starving brother out of this bowl. You put the food in. Save this brother's little brother. Thank you. If you can help us help 100 children and feed them, we'll ask for the bronze and all the teaching by Christine Kane, and encourage your friends to watch Life Today and share Life Today every day.
Tomorrow, Amy Ford from Embrace Grace and Nancy Alcorn from Mercy Ministries call the church to show grace and mercy in a life-changing way. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.